2 en una nueva masterclass de Richard Vaughan. ¿Te lo vas a perder? Recuerda, este lunes a las 19 horas en el Salón de Plenos de la Junta de Distrito de Retiro, en la Plaza Daoiz y Velarde número 2. Son más productivas con Richard Vaughan.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Hello, welcome back to our second hour of today's Friday edition of Richard Vaughan Live. Friday, yes sir, the last day of the week. Next Monday, the 16th, I will be in the Junto Municipal de Retiro for my master class. So join me. Yes sir, Plaza de Daoiz y Velarde number 2. Salón de Plenos de la Junta. It's a nice place, really. It's a bit far for many people going to Metro Pacifico or Metro Mene Pelayo. It's a bit far. But I think it's worth it. I mean, we have some, I have two people usually come from, Comrar Viejo all the way. Another person comes from Mostoles. Aníbal. Yes. And also the father of a very, very famous actress comes almost every time. Yeah. I will not say the name of the actress, but, he comes almost every time. Yeah, almost every time he comes. And he's always there, very nice, very smiley. And she looks just like her father, by the way. Of course. But the father is probably about 70 years old. The actress probably is, I would say the actress is maybe around 40. Yeah. And she's a very famous actress, married to a very famous actor. Yes. But I don't know how old she is. Let's see. Maybe we can find her. Well, if I say her exact age, people will guess who she is, probably. So I'm not going to say. But, so her father probably is around 72, 73, 74, something like that. So, but he comes almost every time. And he's been coming to my master class for the past 5 or 6 or 7 years. I've been doing that master class for a long time. Every other Monday, usually. Sometimes consecutive Mondays, depending. But usually every other Monday. I stopped for a period of about 6 months and people were begging me. Please, to beg, suplicar, implorar, por favor, to start doing it again. But it's a big effort for me. I mean, on Monday, you know, maybe I go home for lunch or maybe have a business lunch. And then I have some work in the afternoon, etc. Then at 7 p.m., I start here at 7:30 in the morning to go there at 7 p.m. and do an hour and a half in front of 100 people. You know, it's tiring. Es cansado. In English, decimos es cansante, se cansa, which is true, but that's okay. I enjoy it. So why not? Life is too short to worry too much about these things. You do them. Just do them. All right. Le vi en medio de la multitud. I saw him in the middle of the crowd. Esto mata insectos en menos de 5 segundos. Really? This kills insects in less than 5 seconds. Wow. What's it called? Raid. Ah, Raid. Of course, Raid. ¿Por qué se llama Raid? Ah, because the word raid in English means incursión. Yeah, an air raid, una incursión aérea. Yes, Raid. And so it's, what it is it's like un incursión del ejército del contra los bichos, against, so it's a raid. Yes, sir. It kills insects in 5 seconds. Not necessarily true, but in 10 maybe. And then it has a lasting effect for, has a lasting effect for 3 months, which means any cockroach or that walks through this area that smells strange here, and he dies. Yes, sir. It's more important in the U.S. than here in Spain, because in the United States there are more bugs than in Europe. Europe is relatively bug-free, but the Americas, North America and South America, are not bug-free, because you must understand that in Europe, people have been living here for 4,000, 5,000 years with relative population density compared to the Americas. In the Americas, there was much less, historically, there has been much less population density, so bugs and animals predominate more. And so still today, we pay the consequences of this, because if you live in Texas, there are spiders, centipedes, scorpions, cockroaches, all kinds of bugs, silverfish. I don't even know how to say silverfish. Silverfish. I don't know how to say it. Yeah. Pleurogramma antica. No. Silverfish. I don't know how to say silverfish. Let me see if I can find it. Silverfish. We'll find it. Silverfish. Silverfish. S-I-L-V-E-R. Fish. Es una sola palabra, I think. There they are. Silverfish. You see them a lot in the States, but here in Spain, you see them as well. All right. Let's see. Lepisma sacarina. All right. Pececillo de plata. El pececillo de plata. Or cordón de plata. All right. Traza. They're different. You see them, but you see a lot in the States, silverfish. And you see a lot of moths. Moths or polillas. You see them everywhere. Moth. And, but that's life in the States. So it's better for a company like Raid, or for a product like Raid. It's more important in the States than here. Esto mata insectos. This kills insects in less than 5 seconds. El efecto dura 3 meses. The effect lasts 3 months. Lasts. Os cuesta decir lasts, I guess. Lasts. In fact, native people, we usually just continue the S and we skip the T when we're speaking at natural speed. The effect lasts. The effect lasts. Less. How long does the effect last? Well, less. 5 months, 3 months. All right. Déjame ver tu informe. Come on. Let me see your report. Let me and give me. These two we usually say let me and gimme. Let me see. Give me a chance to see it. Let me see it. Give me another chance. Come on. Gimme. Give me. Nos comemos la uva de give. Gimme some lovin'. There's a song called Gimme Some Lovin'. Yeah. Yeah. Gimme Some Lovin'. And I don't remember who that group was by. The Spencer Davis Group. Yes. This was a good song, by the way. This was a good song. The problem is I don't want to play it on the air, because the introduction is instrumental for at least a minute and a half before the voice starts coming in. And the singer is, Stevie Winwood. Have you ever heard of Stevie Winwood? Steve Winwood or Stevie Winwood? He's a British singer, but if you've never seen him, or you don't know who he is, you swear, when you hear it, you swear it's a black man singing. Nacho is not in his place now, but this song with the Spencer Davis Group. It was with Stevie Winwood. Let me find vocalistas. Let me find Stevie Winwood. I can't find it. Spencer Davis, the Spencer Davis Group from Birmingham, England. All right. Spencer, I can't find his name here. Well, maybe I'm right. Here it is. Stevie Winwood. He was one of the earliest members of the Spencer Davis Group. And when Nacho comes back, we'll put it on and you can hear. Give me some lovin'. Un poco de amor. Cariño or something. Give me some lovin'. That's the Spencer Davis Group. Give me some lovin'. Let me go. I can't find my place. I've lost my place. But let's go on, because Nacho's not here. I'm alone. I feel so lonely. I'm so lonesome. Lonesome means lonely. There are two ways of saying sentirse uno solo. It's to feel lonely and to feel lonesome. The standard word is lonely. Lonely are the brave. Los valientes siempre van en solitario. Lonely are the brave. It was a movie. It was a good movie, too, with, what's his name? I can't remember. What's his name means, ¿cómo se llama? Kirk Douglas. It's interesting. It's funny. In Spain, people say Kirk Douglas, pero su hijo dicen Michael Douglas. So for the fathers, they say Douglas, and for the son, they say Douglas. Michael Douglas. Kirk Douglas. All right. But this is an interesting movie. Lonely are the brave. O sea, solos van los valientes. Lonely are the brave. A brave person ends up being lonely. And it's a very interesting movie. And I saw it by accident on television when I was maybe 15 years old. And it's a slow-moving movie. It's slow. It's not action. It's not suspense. It's just the life of a solitary cowboy. Un vaquero en solitario. Who lives in the wrong times. He was born in modern times, contemporary times. However, his mindset is from the 19th century cowboy. So he's a cowboy who was born too late. A bit like Don Segundo Sombra. Have you ever heard of Don Segundo Sombra? It's the Argentinian version, Don Segundo Sombra. It's interesting. Don Segundo Sombra, novela rural argentina de Ricardo Guiraldes. De un gaucho. Pero un gaucho ya, en la época donde el gaucho ya no tiene importancia. That's Don Segundo Sombra. Es la sombra de que fueron los gauchos. All right. It's an interesting story. Yes. And so, era un intento de renovación de la literatura gauchesca by Ricardo Guiraldes. Oh, Ricardo was his name? Yeah. And so the movie Lonely or the Brave is also quite, it's a little bit in the same line, Lonely or the Brave. And again, I've lost my place. Where are we? Here we are, Lonely or the Brave. And it's with, and I remember when I was 15 years old watching this movie on TV, by accident, I caught the movie maybe in the middle, not from the beginning, but I didn't stop watching it until the end. And it was just a cowboy, I think in the state of Colorado, with his horse, who's his best friend is his horse. And they go around together. He doesn't use cars, but he lives in a society of cars. And so he, but he finally dies at the end. Yes. And he dies because he's hit by, I think it's, le pie un coche, le atropella. Yes. And he's never said, look at, both are seriously wounded, himself and the horse. So Burns, the protagonist, which is Kirk Douglas, is taken away in an ambulance, and Whiskey, his horse, is euthanized. Eutanasizado, o sea, matado. The poor horse, because they're hit by a car. He tries to cross Route 66, Highway 66, in Tijeras Canyon. Tijeras Canyon. During a heavy rainstorm, on his horse Whiskey, but the horse gets spooked by the traffic and blinded by the lights. A truck driver strikes Burns and Whiskey as they are attempting to cross the road. All right. So, lonely are the brave. And it was interesting because many years later, well, maybe 10 or 15 years later, I saw Kirk Douglas on one of the late night shows. A late night show's tipo Buena Fuente. Late night shows. A talk show with Johnny Carson or David Letterman, somebody. And the host asked Kirk Douglas, of all the movies you made, do you have a favorite? And he said, yes. My favorite is a movie that nobody remembers. A very simple movie in which it was about myself and my horse called Lonely or the Brave. And I said, huh, the same movie, the same movie. Kirk Douglas. And when you are brave, los intrépidos, los valientes, you know, many times you feel lonely because people tell you, no te atrevas, pero estás loco. ¿Qué haces, Richard? It's very dangerous, and so you feel lonely. You don't feel supported sometimes. Déjame ver tu informe. Let me see. Let me see your... By the way, Nacho, I'm going to send you. Nacho disappeared on me. Se me desapareció. Fijaos. Nacho disappeared. Nacho desapareció. Ahora, Nacho disappeared on me. Se me desapareció. And but now I can't find it. I have too many things open on my computer screen. Too many things. Too many things are open on my computer screen. And I can't find the... give me some lovin'. I'm going to send it to Nacho, because I'm not sure he can find it. Bueno, give me, escrito gime, con doble M. Give me some lovin', sin la G al final en lovin', the Spencer Davis Group. Can you find it? Spencer, Spencer Davis Group. And this is Stevie Winwood when he was about 18 years old. Did you find it? Yeah? The problem with this is, hay una parte instrumental de media hora, al principio. Put it on, you see, put it on, let's start hearing it. Give me some loving. Give me. Later he says, give me. So that's how we say give me. He gonna let me is let me. Let me see. A ver. ¿Qué hacemos? Let me see. What shall we do? Let me see. Let me see. Let me see. Let me see. That's how native people say it. British and American and Australian do. Let me see. How do you say it?
Let me see.
Ah, you say let me. Let me see. Has leído todos los libros? Have you read all those books? Yes and no. I've read 80% of them. If you look at the bookcase in my living room, I have a very big bookcase with maybe 1,000 books. And one person says, wow, have you read all those books? I said, well, I've read all of them. No, but I've read probably 80% of them. And there's one book that is, I don't know, I will take it with me in my coffin. I'm going to take it with me. Un solo libro quiero que metan en mi ataúd conmigo. Eh? One book. It's by my, it's a Remembrance of Things Past by Michel Proust. The Remembrance of Things Past. Yes. In Search of Lost Time. Remembrance of Things Past. En Busca del Tiempo Perdido. It's by Proust. Proust. It's going to Marcel Proust. And if you look at his face and his eyes, well, on the spine of the book, the spine is el, spine is la espina dorsal, pero lo que es en un libro, it's the, I don't know how to say the spine of the book in Spanish. How do you say the spine of the book?
Dorso?
No, el dorso del libro es el reverso. The word reference, spine is espina dorsal, escrito spine. También los australianos cuando dicen España, they say spine. Spine, the spine, columna vertebral. Let's see, lomo, el lomo del libro. Okay, el lomo. In the bookcase, you can see the drawing of Proust's face looking at me. And so every time I see that book, he's looking at me and he's saying, you still haven't read me. And I've had that for 45 years, or 47 years I've had that book. I bought it. I don't remember where. But it's still there. And I haven't read it. I tried. I opened it once and started, and I didn't finish the first page. I said, my God. I'm going to need 37 cups of coffee to be alert to read this book without falling asleep. Because you can read 100 pages. It's over 1,000 pages. It's several books, real, several volumes of the same book. And you can read 100 pages, and what happens in those 100 pages is they take a walk in the park. It's 100 pages. Because it's stream of consciousness, like I do on the radio when I speak, just thinking and moving from one subject to another, looking at a tree and start thinking about that tree, and that tree gives you just, and it reminds you of another person in your childhood who enjoyed climbing trees, and you start thinking about your childhood. And so it's and so you need to be very, very alert. Proust. A lot of writers are like that of the 20th century. And in France, La Nouvelle Vague, La Nueva Ola de Escritores. And the novels didn't even have a plot. Que no hay trama aquí. No hay argumento en esta novela. Yeah, it's a walk in the park. Great. All right, I like plots. I want to find out what happens. I want a climax at the end. It's interesting, the word climax in Spanish is used sexually, but the word climax in English means el punto culminante, la culminación, el momento álgido, which could be sexual, of course, but it's basically, it's used in, it comes from the novels, it comes from la teoría de la novela, de ir construyendo un crescendo hasta boom, hasta el, donde la trama llega a su climax, su punto, culminante. What happened? Who killed it? The butler, the maid, who is the murderer? That's the climax, when you find out. All right. Cada vez que voy ahí, me piden el pasaporte. Every time I go there, they ask me for my passport. They asked me for my passport. Pedir is to ask for, pero se suele insertar en medio el pronombre. Pídeselo a él. Ask him for it. O sea, pídele a él por ello, literalmente. Ask him for it. Ask me for it. Pídemelo. Si lo quieres, pídemelo. If you want it, ask me for it. If you want it, here it is, come and get it. Yeah. If you want it, here it is. Aquí está, ven a por ello. Come and get it. That's a song from the movie Candy. Yeah. If you want it, here it is. Come and get it. Yeah. And that's from the movie Candy. Yeah, from the movie Candy, which was a erotic film of the 1960s. Yeah. If you want it, here it is. Come and get it. Candy. And they had that song, Candy, with Ringo Starr. He was in it as well. Candy. Yeah, here it is. And she played the role of a promiscuous young little girl. And so one of the songs was, if you want it, here it is, come and get it. I'll be right back.
Este lunes te esperamos a las 7 de la tarde en el Salón de Plenos de la Junta de Distrito de Retiro en la Plaza Daoiz y Velarde número 2 en una nueva Masterclass de Richard Vaughan. ¿Te lo vas a perder? Recuerda, este lunes a las 19 horas en el Salón de Plenos de la Junta de Distrito de Retiro en la Plaza Daoiz y Velarde número 2.
Christmas from your friends at Vaughn Radio, wishing you a happy holiday season.
Estas Navidades, tus hijos no solo cantarán villancicos en español. Apúntalos a los Christmas Impacts, nuestros cursos intensivos de inglés en Navidad para niños. Infórmate en el 91-133-5832.
Mi hermano Raúl se está preparando para ser piloto. Lleva 500 horas con el simulador de vuelo y mañana es su primer vuelo real. Con 500 horas de simulador estará súper preparado, ¿no crees? ¿Quieres subir con él mañana en su primer vuelo? Y por otra parte, mi novio Tomás también se está formando como piloto, pero solo tiene 5 horas de simulador, no 500 como mi hermano Raúl. Sin embargo, ya ha llevado un aparato arriba 5 veces y lo ha aterrizado con éxito. Si no, ya no sería mi novio, ¿verdad? No tiene 500 horas de formación como mi hermano, solo 10 entre simulador y vuelo real, y mañana llevará el aparato arriba por sexta vez. Si tuvieras que subir con uno de los dos, ¿con quién subirías? Para nosotros, al menos psicológicamente, una hora de vuelo real equivale a 100 horas de simulador. Subiríamos seguramente con mi novio Tomás, a pesar de sus pocas horas de formación. Para hacerse con un total dominio del inglés, la cosa es exactamente igual. Una hora en Vaughan Town, superando la ansiedad y los apuros de comunicación, equivale a 100 horas de clases de inglés.
Nunca vas a hablar un inglés perfecto, ni lo hablo yo. Tengo mis momentos elocuentes y mis momentos menos elocuentes en mi propia lengua materna, que es el inglés. Así que repito, nunca vas a hablar un inglés perfecto. Ahora bien, si quieres tener un perfecto dominio de los entornos de comunicación en mi idioma, algo muy diferente, vete a Vaughan Town. Allí, entre angloparlantes de los más variopintos, avanzarás 1,000 kilómetros en confianza, convicción y aplomo. Dominarás los entornos de comunicación a pesar de un dominio aparentemente imperfecto del inglés.
Estas Navidades haz que disfruten y aprendan en el Christmas Impact de Junior. Inglés con todo el espíritu navideño de Vaughan. Llama al 911-335-832. 911-335-832. Estas Navidades, regala inglés. Regala Vaughan.
Todos. ellos pueden decir que llevan más de 40 años de experiencia formando a la mayor parte de los directivos, empresarios, trabajadores de este país. Presumimos, pero es que es cierto. Trabajamos con los mejores docentes. Tu profesor está aquí. Infórmate en el 91-133-5833. 91-133-5833. En Vaughan buscamos soluciones. Vaughan in Company. Rentabilidad, dinamismo, resultados.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Hello and welcome back. Okay, we're back for our last half hour of Richard Vaughan Live. Today is Friday, so we have the weekend just around the corner. Just around. La T de just, en laza con E, la A de around, just around the corner. A la vuelta de la esquina, justo, just around the corner. So let's continue. Déjame ver tu informe. Let me see your report. Tienes suerte de tener un jefe como ella. You're lucky to have a boss like her. Well, yes and no. Yes, she's a demanding boss, and I prefer demanding bosses. Cada vez que voy ahí, me piden el pasaporte. Every time I go there, or whenever. Whenever I go there, every time. Whenever I go there, they ask me for my passport. Every time I go there, they ask me for my passport. Well, of course. I mean, come on. You're flying to England. I mean, in London Airport, in Heathrow, they ask you for your passport. Yeah, but I'm a member of the European Union. It doesn't matter. The British ask you for your passport. When I travel around Europe, I don't need a passport. But if I go to Great Britain, yes, I need a passport. So, ¿por qué llueve tanto aquí? Why does it rain so much here? Why does it rain so much here? I don't know. But it's the rainiest place in Spain. Yeah, in Andalusia. That's strange. Parque Nacional de Grazalema. It's the rainiest place in Spain. It's rainier than Galicia, Asturias, Cantabria, or the Basque Country. It's the rainiest place in Spain. And it's a very small microclimate. Yes. La zona más lluviosa de España. Yeah, it's the rainiest place. Yes. De forma curiosa, hemos descubierto que la Sierra de Grazalema es el lugar más lluvioso de toda España. And that's near Huelva. Bueno, near Cádiz. It's between the city of Cádiz and the town of Ronda. So it's down in, I think it's in the provincia de Cádiz. Ronda is in the province of Málaga. But if you go from Ronda to Grazalema, you cross into the province of Cádiz. Yes, and so it's very rainy there. There's a microclimate that comes up from the Atlantic and comes up and stops there because of the mountains and boom, deposits all the water right there. And the reason I know this is because many years ago we found a very, very nice place in the park. Parque de Grazalema, for residential programs, residential English programs. And the teachers complained it was always raining. Wow, always raining. And then I found out, so it rains more than in Santiago, donde la lluvia es arte. In Santiago de Compostela, donde la lluvia es arte, where rain is art. But it rains more in Grazalema. ¿Por qué llueve tanto aquí? Why does it rain does it? Why does it rain so much here? Does it rain a lot in Texas? In certain areas, yes, it rains a lot. Texas is very big. Texas is bigger than Spain and Portugal together. It's bigger than France. And so it rains a lot. It rains a normal rainfall along the coast, the Texas coast. Texas has a coast? Yes. Most people don't know that. Texas has about 1,000 kilometers of coastline. So it's a pretty long coast. Yes. Houston is very close, very near the coast. Houston is only 45 minutes from the Gulf of Mexico. Galveston is on the coast. Corpus Christi is on the coast. Brownsville is on the coast. And then you cross the Rio Grande and you're Matamoros in Mexico. Tamaulipas. And then you go down to Tampico and then down to Veracruz, Mexico, and then to Yucatan. That's the Gulf of Mexico. It's a very interesting geographical phenomenon, the Gulf of Mexico. Because you can see that the Gulf of Mexico is practically a closed body of water. It's practically a closed body of water. And you will see that it's Cuba, the island of Cuba, basically closes that body of water. And if you look at, there's the Gulf of Mexico. Now, in order, from Houston or from New Orleans, you see New Orleans, Nueva Orleans, if you want to understand history and the decisions made by leaders of countries or kings or prime ministers or presidents, you need to understand la geopolítica, which is geopolitics, geoestratégica, the geostrategia, the geostrategic decisions. You have to understand that the American breadbasket is around the Mississippi River, the drainage area. The drainage area, área de drenaje, is what you call la cuenca del río Mississippi. And this area is very, very rich in agriculture. And also there's important industry in Illinois, especially. And you go down the Mississippi to New Orleans. So it's a natural port. And then from New Orleans, you can, by ship, you can take the goods around and up to New York or to Boston or whatever, or you can cross the Atlantic to England or to Spain or to France. But you have to pass between Cuba and Florida. And it's very narrow. And then the Bahamas, the islands, it's a very narrow passage. So strategically and geopolitically, it has always been very important for the United States to ensure that Cuba is not an enemy. And that's one of the reasons that Spain lost Cuba. Spain lost Cuba in the Spanish-American War, la Guerra de Cuba, sí, en 98. And one of the reasons was because at that time, the port of New Orleans was becoming so important for the United States for the shipment of goods that they needed to be sure that they had control of the island of Cuba, because the island of Cuba was blocking the way to the Atlantic Ocean from New Orleans. If you want to sail from New Orleans or from Houston to the Atlantic, you have to pass very, very close to La Habana, to Havana, the capital of Cuba. And it's very narrow. And so that's the reason that William McKinley in 1898 decided to allow the war to take place against Spain and to take Cuba. Of course, then Castro, 60 years later, came in and took over Cuba and gained the support of the Soviet Union. And so Cuba became an enemy of the United States. It still is basically considered an enemy because the United States doesn't like communist countries. But nevertheless, it's not strong enough to cause any problems. But that's the Gulf of Mexico. So Texas has a nice long coast and a very nice coast. The favorite beach, my favorite beach is in Corpus Christi, right there on Padre Island and Mustang Island. These islands, very long island, South Padre Island, North Padre Island, Port Aransas, and this is called Mustang Island, divided, separated by a little piece of water. It's Mustang Island and Padre Island. Usually I go to Mustang Island. Mustang. If you say Mustang Island, Island, then you will see where I go. That's where I go. When I go to Texas, I go to Mustang Island, to the beaches. Yeah. Beaches, Mustang Island, with cars. And you take them out on the beach. Yes, sir. In your cars, out on the beach. Out on the beach with Mustang Island. You take your car, drive it right out onto the water. It's very nice. And that's where I go. And there's usually nobody there. You have the beach to yourself. This is very common. Mustang Island Beach. It's very nice. So, maybe next summer I'll go to Mustang Island again or to Padre Island. But let's continue. ¿Quién escribió esta carta? Who wrote this letter? Aquí no hay verbo auxiliar. Porque el sujeto es who. El sujeto no existe. No hay ningún sujeto a quien auxiliar. Porque la pregunta, busca el sujeto. ¿Quién? ¿Quién escribió esta carta? Who wrote this letter? Maria wrote it. Why did she write it? Luego entra did. Yes, porque ya hemos identificado sujeto. She, Maria. Why did she write it? She wrote it because she wanted to write it. Why did she want to write it? So who wrote? ¿Quién vino? Who came? ¿Qué pasó? What happened? What happened? ¿Quién escribió esta carta? Who wrote? Write, wrote, written. Have you ever written a love letter? No. A love letter in the classical sense of a love letter. Dear Doris, I love you. No, I've never written a love letter like that. I've received one, several. Perfumed, even, I remember. But then I haven't written one as far as... And I've written other things that would be very interesting to publish, but no. I've never written a love letter in the classical sense of the love letter. Todavía estoy esperando una respuesta, ¿eh? I'm still waiting for an answer. Well, you're still waiting for an answer. Yes, and I will stay here until you give me an answer. Well, you can stay here until hell freezes over. I'm not going to give you an answer. Until hell freezes over. Interesting. Hasta que se congele el infierno. This is a true story of Adlai Stevenson. Adlai Stevenson in, I think it was 1962. Adlai Stevenson. 1962, hell freezes over. And you can find pictures of him. And he was in the Security Council of the United Nations. In Security Council of the United Nations. This was during the famous Cuban Missile Crisis. Yes. And, La crisis de los misiles, because the Soviet Union tried to install missiles with nuclear warheads. Cabezas nucleares. We say warhead. Say cabeza de guerra. Nuclear. Warhead. Nuclear warheads in Cuba. And the American spy planes identified this. And then there was an impasse. And there was a a period of 2 weeks that was very scary. This is in 1962. I was 10. And I remember this. And in the United Nations, the American ambassador to the United Nations was a man by the name of Adlai Stevenson. And in the Security Council meeting, he asked the Russian ambassador, said, Mr. Ambassador, are you installing nuclear weapons in Cuba? And the Russian ambassador didn't respond. And Adlai Stevenson said again, let me repeat the question. Is your country, the Soviet Union, installing missiles with nuclear warheads on Cuban territory? And again, the Soviet ambassador didn't respond. And finally, Adlai Stevenson said, I'm prepared to wait for my answer until hell freezes over. Yeah. Until hell hasta que se congele el infierno. Of course, he didn't wait until hell freezes over. And as far as I know, hell hasn't frozen over yet. But in any case, it was a very famous statement by Adlai Stevenson. Adlai Stevenson ran for president twice and lost twice. Very intelligent man, brilliant man, Adlai Stevenson. He just had the bad luck of running against Dwight Eisenhower in November 1952 and in November 1956. He ran against Dwight Eisenhower, and Eisenhower was just too popular. Simply, he was just too popular, and so Stevenson lost. But Stevenson probably would have been a very good president. But Eisenhower was a good president as well. A good leader, good president as well. That was in the worst years of the Cold War. The worst years. People were frightened. Many people, some houses had fallout shelters. A fallout shelter is un refugio antinuclear. Under the houses, instead of a basement, they had a fallout shelter to protect them from radioactivity. Fallout shelter. And I remember seeing one when my family moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma in 1960. And in early 1961, we moved into a house, a rented house. Up the street and up the hill, there was a house with a fallout shelter. And I got to see it. I said, cool, wow. I was able to see the fallout shelter. Yeah. And it was stocked with food, canned food. Canned food means comida enlatada. Can you imagine? You know, you have all these cans. You have 1,000 cans. And there's exploding nuclear explosions outside, and the family is in the fallout shelter. Darling, did you bring the can opener? Can you imagine? You'll have to figure out a way to open the cans without a can opener. All right. That's a joke from Larson. And I don't know if I can find that joke. Gary Larson. Can opener. Fallout shelter. I don't know if I can find it. And things, but it's a good one. It's a good one. Have you ever seen Larson's? Here we are. I think it is. Fallout shelters. But I can't find them. I can't find it. But Gary Larson is one of the best, most famous cartoonists in the history of the United States. A cartoonist is de viñetas, de que hacen gracia. Very, very funny. Very, very funny things. And so I think here's one of Christopher Columbus, Niña Pinta Santa María. And the Indians, did you detect something a little ominous in the way they said, see you later? There's a lot of funny things by Gary Larson. If you want to laugh a little bit to understand, anthropologists, and they're hiding their televisions and they're supposed to live like primitive beings. The anthropologists are coming, and so the primitive beings are hiding their televisions and radios. All right, so I'm still waiting. Sigo esperando una respuesta. I'm still waiting for an answer. Dame el azul, no el verde. Give me the blue one, not the green one. I don't want... Look, I have a red one and a blue one. Which one do you want? The red one or the blue one? Neither one. Well, come on, you have to choose one of them. Neither one. I don't want the red one nor the green one, the blue one. I don't care. I want the green one. Well, I didn't bring the green one. Why didn't you bring the green one? Because it didn't occur to me that you would want the green one. Because now I have two here for you. You choose. You take a pick. The blue one or the red one? Neither one. I don't want either one. I want neither one. Neither one of them convinced me. Okay, this argument or this argument? Jimmy, eat your vegetables. Eat your veggies, Jimmy. Why? Well, there are two reasons. Number one, the vegetables are good for your health. And number two, you need to learn to appreciate vegetables because in the future you'll have to eat them as well. Neither one of those arguments convinced me. Yes. I remember one man, he was adamant in one of our residential programs. He said, no como verduras. He said, I don't eat vegetables. No vegetables. Just the opposite of vegetarian. Carnivore, I suppose. But he wanted nothing to do with vegetables. I remember the guy. Good guy. He was very, and a good student as well. But not eating vegetables. So, the blue one, el azul, el verde, the green one, el que trajiste ayer, the one you brought yesterday. El que tú trajiste no es el que yo quería. The one you brought isn't the one I wanted. El uso dinámico de one, the one. Which one? ¿Cuál quieres? ¿Este o aquel? ¿Cuál quieres? ¿El azul o el verde? Which one do you want? ¿Cuál quieres? ¿El que está en la mesa o el que está en el suelo? Which one do you want? ¿The one on the table or the one on the floor? I want the one on the table. Well, the one on the table belongs to me. It's mine. Okay, fine. But that's the one I want. Well, you can't have it. Why not? Because it's mine. Take the one on the floor. Whose is the one on the floor? The one on the floor belongs to Fitz. Well, does Fitz know that you leave his on the floor? No, he doesn't know that. But do you want Fitz's? I don't want Fitz's. I want yours. You don't want Fitz's. No quieres el de Fitz, quieres el mío. You don't want Fitz's, you want mine. Yeah, I want yours. And why do you want mine? Because yours is the blue one, and I want the blue one. I thought you told me you wanted the green one. The one I left at home. El que me dejé en casa. Well, yeah, I wanted the green one before, but now that I can't have it, now that it's too late, now that you've left it at home, well, I'll take the blue one. But the blue one's mine. Well, I know the blue one's yours, but I want it for myself. Ah, so you want me to give away the blue one? The blue one's the best one. No, the best one's on the floor. One. El uso dinámico de one. Which one? ¿Cuál? This one or that one? ¿Por qué son tan largas estas listas? Why are these lists so long? They're not long. Why does life last so long? My maternal grandfather said that to my mother. Shortly before he died, he said, we live too long. He died when he was 95. He died of leukemia. That's strange. Leucemia. A los 95. And he contracted it probably at 94 and a half. I mean, he was independent. He lived by himself until age 94 and a half. Yeah, and then he spent maybe the last month of his life in a clinic or a hospital or in a, what do they call it? These places for people who are, there's a certain word they use. I can't remember it. It's like a final house, a place. I can't remember. No. There's a word in American English. I don't know if in British. Place where terminal patients live. I can't remember what it's called. Hospice. 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 H-O-S-P-I-C-E. Hospice. Hospice. All right. Is a type of health care that focuses on the palliation of terminally ill patients. All right. And that's where a lot of cancer patients go when there's just no hope. And they spend their last month or the last 2 months or last 2 weeks or whatever in a hospice. It's called hospice. I'm not sure if in Spanish, I don't know what they call it. Hospicio. All right. Casas públicas donde se recogen. Bueno, esto es un poco diferente. A los pobres desvalidos. Es beneficencia pública. That's different. A hospice pagas, o la familia, the family pays. And they take care of you. And it's designed to take care of you in your last days. In Madrid, north of Madrid, near, I don't know, Cercedo or Cercedilla, up in this area, up in the mountains, they have a place like this. One of the most important people in the history of this company spent her last days there. And I went up to visit her, Marisa. It was quite a... And she was in good spirits. Fuenfría. I don't know if Fuenfría could be. I don't know where it is. She was in good spirits. 5 days later, she died. And I didn't see her again. It's a funny, well, strange sensation. When you say goodbye, just going out the door and turn around and say goodbye, and she waved. I knew I would not see her again, you know. Incredibly good. Director of Baugantown, incredibly good. Have a great weekend.
Y si quieres contenido extra, La Hora Extra, con Richard Vaughan. Todos los días a las 22 horas. En Vaughan llevamos más de 40 años con la pasión de formar a los empleados, directivos. A ti llevamos el método Vaughan a tu empresa a través de uno de nuestros profesores certificados Vaughan, con clases dinámicas e intensas con horarios 100% flexibles. O clases de inglés telefónicas para empresas. Su formato mixto entre conversación fluida y corrección con el método Vaughan mejorará radicalmente el inglés de tus empleados con los horarios más complicados. Inmersiones lingüísticas totales en las que tus empleados, alejados de los problemas de la vida real, se centrarán exclusivamente en hablar en inglés durante todo.